One summer, Jill and I and a friend chartered a small sailing boat to explore part of Alaska. It was very small. There were two berths, both big enough for two very close friends. We slept in one, our friend in the other, and the crew somehow slept on the table in the cabin. It was a good week, and on the last day we headed back to Juneau for a night in a real bed before flying out the next morning. But there was a small craft advisory, and sure enough, as we approached Juneau, a storm hit. I soon discovered that my waterproof pants were not. It was no time for sailing, so we were using the engine to approach the harbor as the waves grew bigger and bigger. I was terrified, wet and cold. I held on tight and kept my eyes on the shore. I watched one particular white house as we passed it, heading into the harbor, then passed it again, then in the right direction, back and forth. Even full throttle, we could make no headway against the winds and the rain and the wind. So I'm with the disciples. If anyone had been asleep in that boat, I would have been yelling at them, "Wake up, wake up! We're drowning!" Though how anybody could sleep through such a storm, I can't imagine. Of course, in comparison with a hurricane, this was a minor storm event, and we were probably never in any real danger. But it sure felt like it. For most of us, there are many times in our lives when we feel like disaster is all around us and God is asleep on the job. Jesus' ability to calm the sea shows that he must be God, since it's clear from our readings from Job and the Psalms that only God has the power over wind and water. The disciples must have been both relieved that they weren't about to die in the storm and terrified to realize that they were in the presence of God. There in the middle of the lake, in the stillness of the calm, they realized they were with God herself. For most of us, like the disciples, when the storm is raging, God feels furthest away. We are able to praise and thank God in times of stillness, calm, and prosperity, but when the difficult times hit, it's easy to think that somehow we must have done something wrong and that God is punishing us. And we could use this gospel reading to beat ourselves up even more. If God really loved me, he or she would calm everything down as soon as I called, just like Jesus did. So perhaps it's helpful to remember that Jonah is not the only biblical hero to get in a shipwreck. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner bound for Rome when the boat he was on got caught up in a storm, and for two whole weeks it was basically out of control in a very stormy Mediterranean until it finally hit rocks off the coast of Malta and shipwrecked. At no time during that time did Paul think that God was punishing him or failing to love him. He told the crew, "I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we will have to run aground on some island.'" Storms and shipwrecks happen. Everything that we have taken for granted, everything and everyone that we hold dear, can be taken away from us suddenly and unexpectedly. But God's love holds. We will run aground on some island. There's an old hymn which asks, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife?" And the refrain assures us, we have an anchor, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And it is the Savior's love which holds us fast. God's love continues through the disasters of our lives. God's love is with all those in the Bermudas still searching for loved ones and trying to find food, water, and shelter after the cataclysm which was Dorian. God's love comes to us in practical ways through the gifts and the help of others. But God's love also sustains and calms us from within. You will remember that last week I talked about the awakened heart, the broken heart, and the radiant heart. It is the awakened heart which connects to God's love and keeps us grounded there even during the times when our hearts are broken. As a result, the radiant heart allows us to give and to sacrifice for the sake of the common good. But in times of brokenheartedness, it is the awakened heart which keeps us grounded, firm, and deep in the Saviour's love. Now, I imagine that some of you, like me, find it difficult to keep connected with God's love. Unconditional love has perhaps not been part of our lives until we connected with the divine. Our experiences and our families among the human muddledness in which we were raised did not always teach us to open our hearts joyfully confident that we would be met by love. And so we find that we need to ask for healing. Healing of our hearts so that we can experience and trust in God's love. We find that we need to practice noticing what is lovely and beautiful and kind around us rather than the things which annoy or irritate us. The time to ask for healing is now, not to wait until the storm clouds gather. We get to awaken our hearts, to kindle gratitude and love for the one who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him should not perish. Master, Master, the disciples yelled, we are perishing. No, we are not. We are not perishing. The seas are rising, the storms are getting worse, but we are not perishing. God is with us and will see us through, even through the portals of death, and so we need not be afraid. Paul told the ship's crew, I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you. There will be no loss of life among us, because we are enrolled in the reign of God, which continues into eternity. We are resting in the everlasting arms.